From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. When a teenager with a disability turns 18, they have to face college or the workforce without the support system they've grown up with. Next week, there will be a conference in La Crosse, and it's designed as a one-stop shop for teenagers with disabilities and their families to find out what type of help they can receive when they become adults. The next step is being held next Thursday evening from 4 to 7:30 at Western Technical College's Lunda Center. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom continues a discussion with Anna Geiwitz and her mom, Karen, who are looking ahead to the transition. Steve Johnson of La Crosse, who's a blind man, an advocate for the disabled, and Lisa Collins, a social worker for the Aging and Disability Resources Center of Western Wisconsin. Steve Roysom asked Lisa what the conference is designed to do.
The conference is to look at how do we get as many resources in the same place at one time so that youth and parents are a big part of this whole picture of making that connection to supports and services. And so we want to give us opportunity to students and youth in our community to be able to go somewhere and look around, kind of shop around, talk to the different providers and the different agencies in our community, get brochures for, you know, later if they might need it. I think hearing the motivational piece by Steve is huge, and that's why we chose him as our council chose him, because it is amazing to hear his story about, you know, how, what he's had to deal with and the difficult barriers he's had to overcome and what he's done with his life. It's just unbelievable. I think for anybody that has challenges, whether you have a significant disability or not, I think overcoming barriers and using your resilience skills and doing something about your situation that can impact other people's lives too, so that, for one, other people with disabilities don't feel like they're alone and they can see, hey, if Steve can do that, if Steve can be part of a committee in our community, I could do that. And then also, like what Steve had mentioned, is just getting that education out there that because you have a disability doesn't mean that you have to be so limited that you can't have great employment. Doesn't mean that you can't be part of different community things, legislative things, making decisions about laws and policies. And so I think it's going to be a great event.
Steve, I've met some people that actually say their disability has advantages. Would you say that with you? And just to remind listeners, you're blind.
I don't know if I have advantages of in terms of, you know, if we look at disabilities as having an advantage. It's what we do with that and how we understand it that give us that advantage. That's really where it probably lies. You know, really it's an attitude at any point, you know, how we as individuals look at our own disabilities. It is an attitude. I remember, and I don't remember what professor it was on campus, but I remember the lecture, and part of that lecture was looking at the word attitude. And you assign a letter or a number to each of the letters. So letter A is 1, letter Z is 26. So you go through the entire alphabet. Take that word attitude and add all of those letters up. And what is that number? It comes out to 100. Attitude is 100%. And that's always stuck with me, something I've always remembered. And I use that a lot because that really is, attitude gets you somewhere. And where it's gotten me as an individual is where I am today. Sure, I've faced a number of barriers over the years, but I've also been educated in terms of how to overcome those. I have a very extensive background in civil rights. I understand what my rights are. But on the other end of that, I understand what my responsibilities are. We as people with disabilities will face those barriers as we encounter the bigger, larger, meaner world. And maybe it's not so mean sometimes, but it is how we look at it, and that is important. And knowing what to do, who to contact, or how to advocate for ourselves, that's really an important part of it.
Anna, do you have a pretty good attitude?
Yep. It was hard at first to kind of accept the fact that I have an IEP and I have a disability. Like, when I first got diagnosed with an independent education plan, I threw a fit. I didn't like it. I, like, didn't want to be different. But as the years went on, I started to accept myself for who I am. And I started to realize that I'm not any different than anybody else. And it can be hard sometimes, like, having an independent education program, because some kids might think people with IEPs or disabilities are dumb and they don't know anything, but that's not the case. It's hard for them to learn. They learn twice as hard as anybody else. And I kind of get mad when people say, oh, people just in the IEP room, oh, they're just dumb, they don't know anything, because they do. It's just hard for them to learn.
Karen, was it a hard transition for your daughter?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, like she just said. And I would say that she was gifted with an independent education plan, because with the help that we have in high school and middle school, it's been good for her. It's people learn differently. They don't all learn the same. And the approach that her school system has had toward teaching her has helped her to be successful in school.
Anna, if somebody, a younger sort of person facing challenges like you do at 16, not that you're old, do you think from past experiences that you'd have some tips or advice?
I would say find some friends who would accept you for who you are, because I have some really good friends that help me along the way, and they have disabilities too as well, so they know what I'm going through and they accept me. And find some sports and activities to give you confidence and to help you. Like, my activities are show choir and dance and civil air patrol and water skiing. So those help me gain confidence myself. So just find, like, sports.
Karen, at this age, at 16, is she allowed to get a job?
She's allowed to get a job. She hasn't gotten a job yet.
Steve or Lisa, say she's 18, she's going out for a job, because I see with the Next Step conference, a part of it is there's an employment aspect to it, as you mentioned before. What sort of advice would you give someone like Anna, won't be Anna necessarily, but somebody like Anna, who is about to get her first job? She has ADHD, she has dyslexia, also very intelligent.
Just in talking with a group of students from home in high school, from the Project Live program, which is a program that supports youth with disabilities, and it's kind of a non-traditional classroom setting, and we were just having this discussion with about six or so youth and their teacher. And one of the biggest things is to be able to talk about what your limitations are in a way that kind of shows you have confidence about your limitations and that you've figured out ways to work with your limitations. And so if you're going to go into an employment place and apply for a job and you're struggling with ADHD or dyslexia, you may say, you know, I've got this thing going on, but I figured out a way that it kind of works, and here's what I do. Is that going to be a problem? And so I think just being able to talk about, without going into your full medical history, I mean, I think there's some right to privacy issues that we need to protect ourselves from other people, because they don't know us and they don't, judgment can come there. But I think if you can talk about, you know, some of your limitations, but here's some strengths and here's what I do to compensate for that. And can we work with this? Can you work with this with me? And that was one of the things that seemed to come across to me.
Is higher education readily available for someone with a disability?
Yes, it is. If that's something that they want to pursue, absolutely. I mean, it is a choice that they can make in terms of pursuing that, and most certainly applying for colleges and programs is going to be, you know, something that many of these young adults are going to be doing, whether it's through a university system, you know, even a private university like we have in our community, or even a community college like Western Tech. You know, we're fortunate we've got three different levels of colleges here in town. But most certainly that it's always an option for people with disabilities to look at. When we look at statistics and we look at individuals with disabilities and those who have earned degrees, that's a whole different story.
One of our breakout sessions actually at the event on the 31st, next Thursday, is talking about disability services at UWL, Western Technical College, and Viterbo. So we'll have someone from each of those campuses to just share generally some of the supports, some of the kinds of supports that are available to a student, and what you would do to find out more about accessing those supports and services if you're planning on going to school at one of those institutions.
Is this the first Next Step conference?
We do one every 2 years. I've been on the Transition Advisory Council now for 3 years, I believe. And the last one we did was a couple years ago, where we did a bus trip the city of La Crosse, mm-hmm. and youth took the bus. They had designated places that they needed to go that they would have to access as they were adults and using public transit. And so they went. We went to medical clinics. We went to employment places. We went to campus places for education, grocery stores, just different kinds of places that you'd need to go on the public transit. Because many people will have to take public transit once they're out of their parents' home, and figuring that out can be complicated. So that was part of it. We had the news stations following us that day, and it was a good event. So every 2 years that we do an event, it's a little different, dependent on what some of the needs of students are. And so this year we really felt like students and parents together, working together as a team to get connected to resources and as many resource information connectors as possible. It's all going to be at the Lenda Center at Western Technical College. So we're all going to stay in this convention center, but you can kind of move around based on what you're interested in. There's some flexibility with that.
About 20 agencies that are going to have some sort of presence there?
Yes, give or take. We may be adding a few, and some, you know, we're not able to participate as maybe originally identified. So,
do you find that parents and other experts are kind of surprised with the wide variety of programs available?
I would say people are very mm-hmm. surprised as to what is all out there, because there isn't typically this wide menu of services available to people unless they seek it out. And again, another plug for our agency, the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Western Wisconsin, is a place where you can go and find out about all the options in the community. And I think people are really surprised at what's out there.
Lisa Collins is a social worker with Aging and Disability Resources Center of Western Wisconsin. She was joined by Steve Johnson of La Crosse, an advocate of disability independence, and Anna and Karen Geiwitz of La Crosse, a daughter and mother who are looking ahead to the day Anna transitions to adulthood and has to cope with her learning disabilities in different ways. They spoke to Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom about a conference next Thursday in La Crosse designed to help teens with disabilities find a new support system when they turn 18. We leave you this week with a preview of a discussion about who owns the water. Mark Schultz of Onalaska worked for UW Extension for 22 years as a community development agent. Recently, he talked about water ownership at a League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area meeting. We'll hear more of the talk in the future.
We have better science, more technology, many more uses that are made of water. We have growth happening all over the place, and that makes higher demands on water. So all of a sudden now, that Eastern water law that relied on plentiful supply, we don't have that plentiful supply as much anymore. We have conflicts between users. So without the regulatory approach, the power of government, the power of the police power, we wouldn't be able to resolve a lot of those conflicts in use. There's a couple of examples of those conflicts that have happened in the last 30 years. Is anybody familiar with the Tommy Bartlett case? I was in on the ground floor on that. I was an intern and working for DNR law enforcement. But essentially what happened there was Tommy Bartlett was authorized by the village of Lake Delton to use a portion of the surface water for their water ski show and to exclude everybody else. And some of the fishermen there and some of the residents said, wait a minute, you can't do that. Those are public waters. You, village, don't have enough authority from the state, who's the trustee, to do that. Well, it turned out that they did, according to the Supreme Court.
Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.